Well, hello and welcome to Creative Consciousness Radio Show. A big hello to everyone on planet Earth. Our intention for our show is to support individuals that are living spiritually purposed lives. We're bridging the gap in the spiritual community and the community at large. We're offering an event in Las Cruces, New Mexico. Check out our Bridging the Gap Spiritual Festival in Las Cruces, New Mexico, August 1st, on our website at oneheartonelovonespirit.org. 350 individuals in two rooms bringing forth their gifts. Get your tickets early. Buy today at oneheartonelovonespirit.org. There will be speakers, dancers, workshops, musicians, vendors. I'm Cabrini Greco, here with my incredible husband, Sam, who will be interviewing our guest on today's show. Hi, Sam. The mic is all yours.
Well, thank you, Cabrini, for that great introduction. Tonight's guest is Augie Nast. He's back with us to share his incredible knowledge and experience. Tonight we're discussing time travel and shifting time zones to erase and fix your history. A little bit about Augie Nast once more. He's a returning guest, and he was raised in Northern Europe and came to the United States to follow his dream. As paranormal researcher, publisher, student of the mind, radio, TV talk show host, and producer, and through direct mind-to-mind contact with universal consciousness, he has learned many of the secrets of society and the universe. This is now all yours for the taking. Using this knowledge and principles, you can experience, as his favorite saying goes, good things start falling out of trees onto your path. Well, this is great, Augie Nast. This is great. Let's talk about some time travel. And my first question is,
I want to know how I can go back in time and go see a Beatles concert.
Okay. Are we on the air?
Yes, we are live on the air.
All right. We're live on the air. Okay. Get real good. Oh.
Okay.
Well, you know, we're told that time is something that originates in the past, passes through the moment, and then it heads off into the future. Well, there may be something more to that. Because if everything that we see around us, remember I mentioned that we just might be nothing physical. If everything around us is a mind-projected hologram that quantum physics and spiritual science says that it is, then it comes from somewhere else. And where is that? And there is some books that I want to mention that actually speaks very eloquently about this. And one of them is Entangled Minds by Dean Radin. And he does some experiments, and he explains how he does it. And where actually something in the future responds to something that hasn't happened yet.
Mm.
That is something to think about. Another book is The Field and the Intention Experiment by Lynn McTaggart. And she also proves that time is reversible. And of course, then the third book that I want to mention is Spiritual Science, Higher Consciousness Thinking, and How to Access the Universal Consciousness by me. And that explains also how time is reversible and how we can manipulate it and how we can travel back and forth on it. But how can that be if time works in only one direction? Now, the effects of the future event cannot reach back into the past and alter it or give it a reaction. That is what we have been told all along. That's what Newtonian science says. And that's what the scientists have been following up to now. But the new paradigm is coming. These experiments work totally contrary to what we have been thinking. So it has to throw the old theories on time right out the window. In Spontaneous Evolution by Bruce Lipton and Steve Behrman, they speak of a scientific experiment where their subjects are hooked up to biometric sensors, which registers physical and emotional reactions to visual stimuli. And they showed a succession of pictures as slides. And most of them were pleasant, very pleasant. There were green grass, there were fields, there were trees, there were people hugging. And then only 3% of those pictures were really gruesome violence, death, sex abuse. They were horrible pictures. And what they found is that just a little bit before, a second to 5 seconds before that picture came up on the screen, they had a violent reaction to the picture, but the picture was not shown yet.
Wow.
Now, this is starting to change our thinking a little bit, isn't it? Now, one experiment, they, you know, we find that everything around us looks so real. And it is very much similar to a hologram. We have, science as we know it right now has been working with holograms for probably around 50 years.
Yeah.
Maybe just shy of that when they made the first one. They have now developed holograms that is computerized and it can actually think and act on its own. And it does things, but it is controlled by the computer behind it. I'll guarantee you that 100 years from now, you're going to have holograms that walk around, they talk to you, they can be around you, they can discuss with you, they can do things for you. And you would hardly ever know the difference between that and a real person.
Okay, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Can you send artificial intelligence into the past or future?
Artificial intelligence is only a form of intelligence that is part of us. So whatever intelligence it is, it doesn't matter. It is part of the quantum field as we are. It is just as real as us. It is just as real within the quantum field or the hologram. So, yes, it can be sent back. Because our mind can go back and visit something in the past and relive it. And also, what I'll mention in a little bit, I have an electronic device that I've been playing with for quite a while. I haven't done much with it lately, but there were some very strange experiences that I had with it in going back to the past and seeing things.
Wow.
So, yes, it can be done. And the mind is the fuel for it. If you talk to Michio Kaku, that has written several books on time travel and, you know, future science and so on. And, in fact, he was on the TV documentary that BBC Television came, they came over to the United States and interviewed him and Green and several other theoretical physicists and myself on time travel. And what they're talking about, yes, time travel is possible, but they are just doing it in physical science only. And they are totally excluding the thought of the mind being involved in it. Until now, that is starting to change a little bit. And that's what I was, I demonstrated my time travel device on that TV documentary. It's called Time Trip. You might be able to find it on the internet or somewhere.
Okay, Time Trip, folks.
Yeah. And this is one of those things that it's outside of the box, so the average person never really looked for it. And even if they saw it, they probably wouldn't interest them, so they don't think so much about it. But the people that are thinking outside of the box in those terms, you can learn an awful lot about what this reality is. Now, let's look at this time a little more. And the self-aware hologram that we are living here, if you compare that to this hologram that we started 50 years ago and the person that we might be meeting 100 years from now and not knowing the difference, if you compare that to the hologram that we're living, it had 14 billion years to develop itself. Do you not think that it will be a lot more implemented and evolved than the one we are doing right now?
Sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. And when we talk about going back to the past and changing something, there is another thing I want to mention. That is, there's a German scientist. His name is Helmut Schmidt. He did some scientific experiments that show if, actually, it is possible to go back and have a do-over of some of the things that we may have screwed up.
Are you getting into like timelines? Would that put someone in a different parallel timeline?
That is exactly right.
Okay, keep
going. We are existing in several different places. It appears to. And that is, each one of those different places represents a timeline. And when it comes to going back to straightening out something that we screwed up, well, I got my hand up. I screwed up some really nice things back in the past that I want to do over if I wanted to do that. And the chances are I may have done that in another timeline.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're looking at is that when we go back to change something in the past, we may be switching timeline and we may not even know it. Because either there's two schools of theory on this. If we go back, let's say that we did something on, the 1st of January 10 years ago. You really screwed something up and you want to go back and do it over. You could go back, if that was a decision, you can go back slightly before that by mentally picturing yourself in that position, in that place, and in that state of mind where that decision was made. And then consciously make a different decision. And, of course, there's a process to this which I explain very thoroughly in the book, Spiritual Science, Higher Consciousness Thinking, and How to Access the Universal Consciousness.
Augie, let me ask you a question. I want to, because it got me thinking.
Yeah.
You go back 10 years ago, January 1st. Do you have the choice to remain there and live 10 years ago, come back? What happens then?
That's a good one. There is two schools of thought on this. And I'm leaning towards one of them, and I'll explain that one. And that is that if you, from right now, mentally go through the process I explained in the book, go back, and you put yourself before that decision and consciously make a different decision, at that time, you will start a new timeline because you are making a different decision. And from there on, are you still there?
Okay. Yep.
Yeah. From there on, you will be going up a different timeline where different circumstances will be developing from that different decision that you made. And then the second school of thought is that what you left behind in that first timeline, the field may collapse and there is nothing. In fact, it never existed. Or you could end up living in both places, but one does not know about the other. I personally, from what I have seen, is leaning towards that you do not totally abolish what's back there. It still continues, but it's irrelevant for the you after you changed it, because you do not know it is there, and it continues on its own without your knowledge.
I see.
So there is a process for this, and believe it or not, there are people doing this. But once you make that change into the new timeline, since you don't remember or know the past, the timeline you come from,
mm-hmm.
You may not know what you left behind, so you could end up making the same decision again at the same time later on in that timeline, because you will not remember what you screwed up in the other timeline.
And these same possibilities occur if you jump into the future.
I'm sorry, say again?
These same possibilities occur if you choose to, instead of going back in time, you choose to go forward in time. there could be a timeline that could very well collapse as well, right? Those possibilities are the same, right?
Yeah, you would start a timeline from that time on. That is a little different because you have very little real thought energy to attach to. You got to create it in your mind very much in detail first before you go do that. Otherwise, it may not work for you because there is nothing there yet to latch on to. If you have created in your mind and visualized it into existence on a mental level of existence to the point where you can actually walk, let's say that you want to do something and you walk through that situation, you can see the details in it, you feel it, you know it, and you understand that situation, then you could go forward and attach yourself to that mind-created thought bubble that you have created. That could work for you. But without it, let's say if you pick a date and just go towards the date, dates are meaningless outside of the physical. Because dates are attached to time, and time does not exist there as we know it. There is time, but there is only one time, and that is the present now. Everything in the past, in the present, and the future is sitting in that soup of creation waiting for you to interact with it. And you can attach to something in there by matching vibration. And then you will pull that back to you into the present so that start developing self to become a creation in your life. Did that make any sense at all?
Incredible.
Oh, good, good.
Augie, do you have any information regarding, you know, planet Earth, humanity, information from people who step forward in time? Is there, or is that still open to, it can go either way? Is there any information that you know of humanity and planet Earth in the future?
Yeah. Let me answer that for the next 3 minutes about an example. And that is that what I was doing in the past, I was hosting and producing two TV shows in Tucson. One of them was called The Hidden Truths. And we mostly concentrated on government corruption and UFOs and all the negative stuff that deals with that type of arena.
Mm-hmm.
That's where my head was.
Mm-hmm.
So when I had a trip forward, and I, using my device as well as the manipulating the brainwave pattern, and I was walking down the street, walked up to a newspaper stand, and I looked at the front page of it, and I could read it, and that front page was in the future.
Wow.
Now, the thing about it is that what I saw there, it was real for me in that timeline. That probably happened in that timeline. But I have evidently switched timeline since that because it didn't happen in the where I am now. See, I didn't understand the difference between the timelines, so I did not get that right. But if you switch timeline, everything in your reality from the previous one to the new one will change. So you can go forward, and what you see, if you continue in the timeline you are, that will happen. But if you switch timeline, then it will not happen. So in... let's say talking about things in the future, if it is really negative, that gives energy to it from other people that hears it. It gives it a low form of life. So you hear some people say, you know, we talk about negative stuff, and I say, oh, I don't want to give it energy. Well, that is true, actually. By talking about it and thinking about it, visualizing it in your mind, you give it energy, so it gives it a stronger form of low life. So that's why it is so tricky to talk about things in the future. Because if a lot of people hear it, they're going to be thinking about it, and they're going to start creating that mind bubble that has it in it. And everybody could get drawn up that timeline so it would happen. As of right now, there is things in our future that is not all that good for a short period of time, but long term, it is going to be a wonderful place to live. And because there will be an alien, that seems to be in all time, well, not all of them, but many of the timelines, there's an alien first contact. It's not that far into the future. And what they're bringing with them is going to change everything.
Oh,
so,
great.
We have
there's an innate feeling that in the long run, as you said, it's going to be a great place to live. There's, you know, we have that innate feeling within us and that knowing. I want to ask you something also. As you were speaking, I was also generated a question of myself here. Now, jumping timelines, do you think there are evolved civilizations who jump timelines purposely for the betterment of, that? You know, their evolve? Is jumping times the discovery and the knowledge of jumping timelines, is that an evolutionary process within itself? Do you think there's other civilizations who consciously do this for their benefit?
Yeah, there is an evolutionary process within yourself to actually be able to do this normally.
Okay.
But, you know, for every rule, there's an exception, right? Things
right.
happen from time to time to people that have no clue how it would happen, and that cannot be explained in any kind of science. And specifically like this, that was in the late 1930s, I think it was, in the mid-30s, there was a guy showing up, and right in the middle, in a puff, just in the middle of the street in New York, he showed up. In the middle of the street, he had a conquistador uniform on with a lance with him.
Is this
and
in
was,
the
1930s? Was a car coming. What?
This was in the 1930s?
Yeah. And a car came and he ran over him and killed him. And everybody
wow.
was wondering, you know, where did he come from? He suddenly showed up in the street. They found a letter in his pocket that was from somebody in Europe that had written to a Spanish person in the Spanish army. And when they started to investigate that back in the old records in Europe, they found that this person had disappeared.
Wow.
Well, evidently he got zapped into a time warp somewhere and ended up in New York in the mid-1930s.
Now, that time warp, let me just hold on. Let me just stop a second here. That time warp that you're talking about, that could have, I'm trying to understand here, that could have been done in one in two ways. It could have been a placement on the planet where there's some kind of gravitational thing with time and space, or he could have subconsciously did it himself.
I personally think that your first theory is the right one. He was in a place where there were a kind of like a vortex type of thermal where he got sucked into it.
Okay.
I think so.
Wow, what an incredible story.
Yeah, you know, goofy things like that happen. But normally, we can actually structure this. And that is the real way to do it because you have a little more control. You don't show up in the middle of the street that way. That would be a bad thing these days. But you have a little more structure. And in the book, I go into how to do it. And in fact, you can place yourself into the future in a controlled situation with something you have visualized into existence, and then you go back to where you started.
Mm-hmm.
You can have a look at the future, and you can go back. This is all done in the mind. There is actually there is somebody on the internet I saw a while back. He's teaching how to do this. He's got a website and so on. But he's got a little different method than I do back in the book. But this is some things that it is possible. It can be done for the ones that really want it. It may take some practice. And I know I was practicing for a long time before I got any results.
Are we getting into remote viewing? Is this what you would call also remote viewing?
that's different, even though they're tapping into the same quantum field or the same universal consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
But it's coming in through a different channel, but it has the same source because we are one. We are one, you and I, right now, in the physical as well, because we are connected through that unified field or that universal consciousness. We are also all one, and everything is one throughout all of existence.
Mm-hmm.
That means on all timelines, as well as all levels of existence and levels of vibration. We are all one. And the way that we don't feel that is because we have blocked it.
Mm.
We have blocked it by these thoughts that is running through our heads and private conversations in our head all the time. We got clutter. Cluttering up the channel to that universal consciousness. And that's why meditation is so important. We got to meditate so we can learn how to get rid of those subconscious mind programs and these private conversations so we can open up the channel to that universal consciousness where the magic is.
Okay.
And for the listeners out there, if you have been meditating for a while and can't really get your thoughts out of your head while you're meditating, there is some tricks to it that is really simple. Yogic tricks, and I cover that real thoroughly in the book also. And I think I recommend very much to read that. Once you start practicing that, things will change. Those tricks are so simple to do that it's a matter of minutes, and you can quiet the mind. Because you give the mind something to do that don't take thought to do it. And there you are. Once you get rid of the thoughts, you make the connection. Once you lower your brain the pattern, and that's automatic in meditation. That
now,
makes sense too?
Now time travel can be accessed. It can be accessed also just with the brain without an external device, right?
Oh, absolutely. Because we are one with the unified field, with the universal consciousness, with that super creation in the universal consciousness, we are one with it. And outside of the physical, there is no time and space difference in distance or location. It is all in the now. So when you enter into that super creation where everything is past, present, and future, there is no distance between anything. It is all sitting there in potentials for existence. You latch on to something in the future that you have visualized into existence because it's been given a low form of life, and you latch on to that, and you are there, one with it, so you can see it, you can live it, you can feel it, or you can draw it back with you after you're done watching it in the future.
This makes me think of shamans, civilizations that had this knowledge and this capacity to do this through their own methods of meditation or breathing.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what they do. And they are maybe going from a different direction or maybe not necessarily
right.
Explaining it in these technical terms, but they're doing the same thing. Now, there's one thing, tricky thing about going into the future. Let's say, this one is good. I talked to somebody one time, and he says, I want to start doing this because I want to go forward in time, and I want to meet myself. Okay. Yeah, you can. But
that would be incredible.
It would be a little tricky. I believe I have done that in the past for myself when I was a little boy at about 7, 6, 5 years old, something like that, because I remember something like this. But if you go into the future and you visit yourself, there is one thing that you should not do, and that is to touch yourself. Do not shake your hands with yourself.
Gee, what would happen?
That's the thing that I don't know this, but it appears, and it is there is a theory about this within quantum physics that if you touched yourself in the future, you create a bridge, and it's a quantum anomaly that will zap you back into the present. And there are people that have say they have done this, and it is very painful when they come back because it happens too fast. They're traveling through the quantum field too fast, and they ended up slapping back into themselves. It's kind of like an astral traveler being zapped back into his body. It feels like it's aching all over.
Wow.
So talk to yourself in the future, visit, but don't shake hands. Of course, I don't know if this is real, but that's just what I hear from people that have said so.
Yeah,
you know, there is a...
I remember the movie The Philadelphia Experiment, and you know, they were tampering with time, space,
yeah,
you know, jumping and stuff, and it didn't go very well.
Yeah, I know. That didn't go very well at all for some of these people. They were, after it was all over, when they got the thing shut down, some of them were halfway embedded in the steel floors and sticking out of walls, and it was melted into one really bad mess. Some of the people that got off the ship, they walked off there, and nobody could see them. They walked off and were still invisible. So, yeah, that was a mess.
So tell us the benefits of you know, naturally time, you know, time jumping, whether it's past or future. You know, we were earlier in the show, it was mentioned regarding people going back in their lives and correcting something. Tell us some of the benefits in doing this at a meditative level.
Well, first of all, there may be some health benefits to it. Well, let's say that. You go out in the front somewhere and visit yourself in the future. Have a good talk with yourself. That guy in the future, being you, may have a lot more knowledge about maybe something that we don't know now. Let's say, and especially in the, if you have a sickness here, you can go up in the future, find the solution for it, come back and do it. Or just knowledge in general. But there still is this concept that is kind of almost like an unwritten rule. Don't speak too much of it, because you can change the timeline for everybody else around you. Everybody that is in your timeline, which you technically have created in your hologram that you are watching. If there's bad stuff up there, try not to talk too much about it, because it can give it a low form of light that will grow on itself if people start talking and thinking and visualizing it.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's good stuff, I suppose that's probably all right. But then again, you are also... here's a thought that was shown to me, that do not interfere in the future, because you are changing the timeline or the thinking of people around you that is in your timeline with you, and they have their own experience that they are supposed to be learning from. If you are changing everything around you, maybe changing theirs also, and you are maybe taking away experiences that maybe they otherwise would have had. And so they may be shorted out on an experience that they're supposed to learn from. And that means that they may have to come back and do it over again because they did not get the experience. So this gets really involved and really tricky, so be very careful. I would say don't go do something like this just from reading one book. Try to learn a lot more before you start messing with it. There is a book written by a lady in the... this one, let me take 45 seconds and explain this one, because it's
sure.
Phenomenal.
Sure.
There's a book written by a lady in Nebraska named Pat Ress, actually Patricia Ress. And she found a guy, a young man, living in Florida, that had a time travel device. He was going to college, and he was sitting in his room playing with it. And suddenly they couldn't find him. Well, a few hours later, he called. And he says, "I am in trouble. You're going to have to send me some money to get home." And he was calling from Australia. He left United States, Florida. And, of course, the parents, they laughed at him, you know, have a good joke, and they hung up on him. Really, he didn't come back. So finally, he got them convinced that, yes, he was in Australia, and they ended up sending him money to fly back.
Wow.
This actually did happen. She explains it in the book. They have the evidence, the airline tickets and all of it. Goofy things happen.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
So here we are with time travel.
What?
I said here we are with time traveling.
Yeah. This is something that it never reaches the major media. Mainstream media don't touch on this. They don't dare to. And that's why it is not very well known. You got to go outside of the box to find these books or find these people that is dealing with it. There is an anomaly here that is alive and well. It's just not very well known. And for the people that is still, you know, believing somewhat in Newtonian science, they're just blowing through their nose on it. You know, he made it up. Well, yeah, he made it up in a way. But he made it up with his mind, so he ended up in Australia.
Wow. Then it gets into, you know, an infinite amount of timelines.
There is, once you leave the physical, you end up into the astral world, which is time and space somewhat. And that's where most the ghosts are living, so to speak. They're kind of hanging around because they are too attached to the physical. They're either by anger or love or any other feeling that they might be there, so they're attached to it. So they stay there for a while until they figure it out that I don't belong here, and then they move on. But beyond that, there is no space and time. And that's where the magic is. You can go into that super creation and go forward and back, and you can create new timelines or new realities for yourself, which is very possible to do. And that's one of the reasons I, after having the download of this information from the Universal Consciousness, I wrote this book. And because I think it is something that if people use the information there, especially if you read it two or three times, your life will never be the same.
Wow. So deja vu, right? That's also a natural experience of time collapsing, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you reach into the universal consciousness and you are making that connection with a quantum field, and you are connecting to something in the past. And you see things happening or you see in another timeline where you have been, and you walk down that street and you've seen these houses and it feels familiar to you. But it's because you make that connection. Whether the field collapses or not, I'm not sure. It could possibly, when you are moving there and see that and come back again, it's possible. I'm not sure that it probably could go both ways, but you are making it into a different timeline in the past, and you see things that you have experienced in that timeline while you still are in this timeline.
Yeah,
so
the deja vu is incredible, because when I experience deja vu, it's perfect. Even the angle I'm at where I see or hear things, you know, the camera angle per se is exactly to what I, you know, when I say myself, I've been here before, I'm having a deja vu. It's exactly,
it's
exactly
very accurate.
The same. It's not a bird's eye view. It's not where I'm looking at what's going on. I'm actually in it.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, it's a phenomenal experience for the mind when you're experiencing that. Yeah. If you should actually try to do this more often. Concentrate on it. Think on it.
Sure.
Visualize, you said, like that particular thing that you saw. Visualize yourself going backwards in time or going forwards in time from that moment that you saw in that deja vu. And you might see the bigger picture of it. You might develop a further view ahead or even before.
Yeah.
Start practicing. I mean, start visualizing that, and you may have another experience like that, maybe a bigger one.
Well, yeah, that's great advice. I think I'm going to do that because I have deja vus, yeah. And they're just natural experiences, you know. It's not where I don't have a device, you know. I mean, we all experience deja vu. So, and it's for me, it's a very natural experience, this collapse of time.
I tell you, though, the device, after a while, the device is irrelevant. You do not need it.
We would think so, yeah.
In the beginning, yeah, maybe they could help a little bit, possibly, I'm not sure. But once you start developing your mind to the point where you can reach into that soup, you don't need any devices in there.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right, folks, we have about 4 minutes left, and I'm going to hand the microphone over to my lovely wife, Augie. It's been fantastic speaking with you again. I mean, we can go on another night as well. If you want to be back on the radio show, and we can discuss this further, and we can discuss a lot of other great topics.
Oh, yeah, that would be fun. I'm kind of getting addicted to this.
I know, so are we.
Yeah.
I bid you a great night, a blessed night, and we will chat again live on the radio again, folks, with Augie. I'm sure we'll have another show with him as well. And I'm just going to pass over the microphone to Cabrini.
Okay.
Well, hello, everyone, and wow, Augie, I could surely relate to everything that you spoke about tonight, and because I do shamanic work.
Yeah.
And so because of my shamanic work, you know, I inter-travel. And, you know, that is, you know, within these realms of the earth, whether it's inner, upper, lower, or through the universes or multidimensional places as well. So that journeying experience really does offer us, and I heard Sam say, a bird's eye view in that regard. I really think that the experience gives you an answer that's really, truly unique to your own personal spiritual path.
Yeah.
It's not something that, you know, you're going to learn somebody else's ways. It's very, very personal, the experience of inner travel. Whether it's inner, outer, you know, whatever dimension you're going to. You know, one thing I do, and this is just because of my own philosophy and, you know, depending on where I go, I travel with a guide. And that, you know, is someone of my own self that, you know, is really in a much higher place of existence than this body.
I think we're about to go off the air, so let me mention the website.
Oh, absolutely. Please do.
Yeah, that's www, of course, and it's spiritual-sciences.net. Spiritual-sciences.net.
Okay.
Find the book.
Yeah, we have it actually listed, reversed on our announcement there on Blog Talk Radio. Folks, visit Augie's website at www.spiritual-sciences.net. You can also reach him on Facebook, Augie Nost, incredible human being. We're so blessed to know him, and he brings forth so much knowledge. Augie's been featured on our show before just because of the background and the diversity and his incredible experience that he's had here in the earth. So there's so much to talk about with Augie, and we always just kind of scratch the surface here. For those of you, we want to wish you a blessed evening, and visit us on our website at alltruenatural.com. If you'd like to be a guest on our show, feel free to connect with us, send us an email, so on and so forth. Much love. Thank you, Augie. We love you, and great topic. great topic, and I'm really going to put it to practice myself in the very near future. So thank you.
Okay, thank you for having me on.
And we'll see you all, folks. We'll see you back here on Thursday evening with Diane Brandon, and she's going to bring forth her knowledge about dream interpretation, which is pretty exciting. And we're going to leave the show off with some music with from Jim Wafer, who is a bell drum maker out of New Zealand. And he made this song for us, particularly for our show. So much love, everyone. Say hello to your neighbor. You know, reach inside. Say hello to yourself. You know, be kind and gentle. Have a great evening. Many blessings. Much love. Good night, everyone.